Good morning, this is Dan Darnall from KFUO Radio. It's time for Daily Chapel here at the International Center in St. Louis, Missouri. The text is Romans chapter 6, verses 16 through 18. The Reverend Stephen Heimer is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
Today's reading is from Romans chapter 6, beginning at verse 16. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you, who were once slaves of sin, have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed, and having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets.
But now in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son.
It's always uncomfortable to have references to some of the terrible things in life and to have it an embedded message from the Lord related to Christian life. And so references to slavery and a way of understanding who we are in Christ, well, it can stir up a lot of thoughts, a lot of emotions, a lot of doubts. And yet, our God, who would not only love us and know us from before time began, who would not only intend by his love to redeem and to save us by the sending of his Son into the flesh, into the cross, and in resurrection make things new for us, he would also have us not only be saved, but to understand in the ways that we might be able to connect what it means to be in Christ. This chapter 6 of Romans does so much to meet us where we're at as we, a people who were born into and lived in a broken world, might be able to relate. And establishing the promises of Christ in something performed outside of us. First, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, but also the baptismal placement of his name and the fruits of his salvation upon our lives. And in chapter 6, in the portion of this chapter that we look at today, we have the scriptures using a worldly explanation, a worldly situation to help us comprehend something of what it is to be baptized, to be given a new life where our sins are dealt with in the death of Christ, and also in the resurrection of Christ, our new life has begun. And this is the reference to slavery. If you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey. A reference to a relationship and a response. So the giving of oneself to someone that would have direction, that would have a word, that would have, in whatever form that it might come, a coercive role toward obedience, toward action, or maybe an inspirational one that would yield a behavior response, saying what you obey is what ultimately owns you. Whether it has you or whether you give yourself to it, you have, well, a relationship with it that will use slavery as the way to understand it, where you would assume that the will of the master would be reflected in the actions of the servant. Sin was that for you, but not anymore. St. Paul makes clear, when you were washed in the waters of baptism and the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit placed upon you, you were joined to Christ in a death like his, buried in, by baptism into death. That old relationship, that old self, has as much power as any ability of a corpse to stand up and walk on its own, to breathe, to think, to say, to act. It has no ownership, no dominion over you. Sin does not own you. It's a powerful message of good news that people living in this world can relate to. Have you ever heard someone say, "This is who I am. I was born this way. This is how my world is. This is, therefore, the true me in what I do and what I say and what I wear, in the choices that I make in life. This is who I am." I think the last 15 years, there's been an effort to bring about peace in our society through just the acceptance of what comes by nature, what we're born as, what identifies us, and what is our identity. There was a young man who, a number of years ago, long before I was a pastor, he had grown up in the south side of Southern California, part of the Sureño gang life. And he had fled it because of certain dangers, and now relocated, living with a family member in relative safety for him. He was living out to the glory of his self-identity, all that he understood himself to be. But he would come and hang out with me, I found out later, because the police were at his home wanting to serve a warrant and arrest him. So he would come and hang out with Stephen. But he would talk, and he would share. And he was really proud of who he was. A chiseled figure, strong in physique, and certainly with an attitude of certainty, that he was glad to say that he was sharing with all the, he called them little hooligans of the neighborhood, because they were pretending to be gang members in his mind. But if they were going to be true gang members, they needed to do the things that gang members do. So he would line up his little hooligans, and he'd teach them how to be strong, how to be brave, how to be loyal to each other, how to get what they needed in the world by taking. And, you know, it's shocking for me to listen to this. It's, you know, just an amazing to have a window into a world that I haven't lived, that hasn't been my world. But as he would go on and on, I thought, oh man, he's bringing harm to our neighborhood. And his assumptions are ones that put him in opposition to the one true God, the one who wins the victory, the one Jesus who will come again, and every knee will bow, every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. Man, this young man is going to be at odds with the victorious Lord and Savior of life. He needs to hear some truth. And so in my way, I tried to express to him that the path that he was on was going to lead to trouble, that the strength that he was cultivating wouldn't get him very far in the hands of the victor over sin, death, and the devil. And you know, his response to me comes to mind as I think about that sense of who we are and what it obligates us to be and to do and to say. Because he said, "Stephen, when I was in second grade, I was given my first gun." This is in some of the roughest parts of Southern California. He said, I'm glad that he didn't, you know, hurt someone accidentally. He didn't go into saying what he might have done with that. But he said, "My father is a Sureño," that international gang. "My mother is a Sureño. My grandpa is a Sureño. My cousin is a Sureño. My uncle is a Sureño. My grandma is a Sureño. This is who I am. I can't be anything else." Maybe it's not a gang life. Maybe it's more of a for people that we know. Maybe some of the struggles that we can reflect on that we've had in sense of how to live or what to expect in life. Maybe it's more the expectations of family tradition that would propel you into a certain industry or on a certain path of education or industry of sport life or music life or whatever kind of life. We hear every once in a while about golden handcuffs, where it's the standard of living that you've been born into or that you've entered into professionally that's given a salary and a luxurious benefit package that is just so much that it gets our thinking into a place where our standard of our expectation for how we would live and what we would have inserts anxieties and fears that are unthinkable. And you can't imagine being anything else, and we're driven sometimes into terrible acts of unfaithfulness to family, unfaithfulness to friend, and abusiveness toward coworkers or those in our community who come alongside us in our economy. This is how we are. This is what I know. This is who I am. This is how I have to be. And I won't even get into the culture wars of sexuality and identity. But God has good news for us who feel enslaved, entrapped, coerced by self. That these things do not own us. We struggle with sin, but we have no obligation to it. Sometimes the things that grandma and grandpa pass down that direct us in paths not of righteousness, but of selfishness and hurt and harm toward others or neglect of others, those are not the ways of our good shepherd who leads us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The good news is that God has made us his own. And he has given us a new identity, a new relationship with life, a transcendent view. Might be hard to understand, but if we can understand what it is to be enslaved to the mortgage, to be enslaved to the culture, to be enslaved to the expectations of this world, well then maybe we can understand that we are free of that and instead given the joyful attachment to a new Lord who has a will, to which Jesus says, "Pray, Father in heaven, may your name be hallowed. There is a kingdom, and let your kingdom come, not in and of itself, because I know that'll happen, but also to me. Thy kingdom come, O Lord, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let your will be done, like a slave would care and do and have actions that would reflect the will of a master. We can understand that we live with a God who is good, a God who is mighty, whose ways are of wonder and of eternity, and that our lives would reflect them. The Apology to the Augsburg Confession describes the new life that we have in Christ in this way. We say that after penitence, that is conversion or regeneration, must come good fruits and good works in every phase of life. There can be no true conversion or contrition where mortifying the flesh and good fruits do not follow. True terrors and sorrows of the soul do not permit the indulgence of the body in lusts and true faith is not ungrateful to God or contemptuous in his commandments. In a word, there is no penitence inwardly, which does not produce outwardly the punishing of the flesh. Thus we say, is what John means when he says, bear fruit that befits penitence. And Paul, when he says, yield your members to righteousness. And elsewhere, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy. When Christ says, be penitent, he is surely talking about total penitence and total newness of life and fruits. Transformation comes. First, in that God became flesh and took upon the weight of sin and guilt, the culture and the heritage of evil and sin that would enslave, that he took it upon himself, became a servant. And he serves us the forgiveness, the new life that he won for us. A new life that shines with good works, that people would know the glory of a good and gracious God. And so we're given the truth, and we're given the Holy Spirit as a comforter. Jesus says, "Come to me, you who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you." Another image, not of a slave, but of a beast of burden. "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am lowly and gentle of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." There's a life to live with Christ as we walk together. And so we need forgiveness continually. We resist our flesh and we preach good news to those who feel like there is no way but to follow the ways of the world that is their culture and their inheritance. Jesus breaks the chains. And we rejoice in our daily dying to ourselves and rising again into new life in Jesus Christ, that baptismal gift that he gives and renews. He holds on to us. That young man who told me about his life as a sureño, he left that day and I thought, man, oh Lord, have mercy. I love the Kyrie in moments like this. But a couple years later, he returned. And he said, "Stephen, I just want to let you know that the way I thought and the way I was before, it's like I couldn't think. But I've come to realize that Jesus is my Lord and Savior." I won't go into all the details of how that came to be in his life, but he had come to know the freedom from what was and to gaze at wonder at what newness lied ahead. May we also have that joy of freedom and walk with God, our Savior and Lord. Amen. May the peace that surpasses all understanding guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel, the broadcast of Chapels underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.